Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play from Upstage Surrey. And by the way, Upstage Surrey ask us to get some feedback regarding these regular offerings. Could you email any feedback to Upstage Theatre Company, figure 4, at gmail.com? That's Upstage Theatre Company, the figure 4, at gmail.com. And they do work hard, and all the feedback, good and otherwise, would be appreciated by this non-membership funded local drama group. So tell them what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to hear more of.
And now, Peter Shaw's The Absence of Peas. We believed they would always be with us. The small spherical seed of the podfruit Pisum sativum was a reassuring constant. Or so we thought. A mass of tiny green, sweet and tasty balls that seemed to whisper to me, "All is well, Oswald. It's fine. Now stop staring at us, you dunderhead." But then, one day, one moment, silently, unnoticed and unmourned, the peas disappeared. I awoke to feel Miss Brassface rubbing me awake in her usual uncompromising fashion. She surprised me with a tray of what looked like supper, but something was missing. "Thanks, sweet pea," I remarked. She winced and placed the tray firmly upon my lap, just how I liked it. As usual, there was a pork chop, mashed potato too. But a third of the plate stood ominously empty. Brassface, my guardian, had adopted me as her ward. It was cheaper than renting, and cozier too. A particularly fraught round of mahjong had left me banished from our communal bed to the lead-lined panic room upstairs. I thought I had overslept a couple of hours. In fact, it had been 137 days. Whoops. My remark about the missing element of the dish sent old Brassface scurrying downstairs. I found her, moments later, hanging from the kitchen ceiling, suspended by an oven glove. On the stove next to her, a single vegetable saucepan rattled, then boiled over, spilling scalding water over the innocent hob. Just water. An open newspaper on the kitchen table chilled me to the very bone. It was the Daily Express. Fortunately, next to it, there was a government pamphlet. It had a reassuring message on the front, how to stay alive for as long as possible in this time of national emergency, including a do-it-yourself guide for the disposal of emaciated corpses in hollowed-out tree trunks. While I was asleep, I surmised, something must have happened. At first, people went about their business as if everything was normal. Women knitted, men smoked pipes, teenagers pleasured themselves in coffee bars, all blissfully unaware there was something missing. We were prepared for war in the air, invasion from the seas, but nothing could prepare us for the absence of peas. Which rhymes. Dear Father God, it rhymes! The first indication something was wrong came 2 days after the absence, as it became known. It was a Friday, and we all know what that means. Fish and chips and what? frantic chip shop owners acted on instinct. They did the best they could under the circumstances, leaving thousands dead, injured, and cross.
Two cotton chips, please, Mr. Chip Shop Owner.
Here you go. Sauces at the end of the counter. Who's next?
What the chuffing heck is this?
Ketchup, you tinker.
Not that. I can see that. What's this?
Tartar sauce. It's tartar sauce. Well, anyone can see that.
Next to the tartar sauce, this green abhorrence, this verdant affront to nature.
It's mushy sprouts.
Dear God.
I knew it was wrong, but I had to do something.
But not this. Not this.
Please forgive me. Please, please forgive me. Now who's next?
Enraged punters quickly formed themselves into angry, uncontrollable mobs and set fire to chip shops across the country. Whitby, Torquay and Margate were razed to the ground. Across Britain, the air smelt like burning batter, and the smoke from flaming chip fat caused a thick fog to engulf major cities. This was all helpfully documented in the pamphlet, which is well worth a read if you have a moment. But that cruel mistress Fate, or Daphne, as I call her, had a final, fatal trick to play. Naughty Daphne! The fog spread to every major city in the country. But there was no warning. Literally, no warning. That was absent too. Daphne, I pondered, is this your doing? Are you even listening, Daphne?
Oliver, I'm begging you, don't go out there. Not tonight. Please!
Darling, why ever not? If only you could furnish me with an explanation, a reason.
The fog, damn you! The fog!
It's a bit misty, that's all. I'll be quite safe, darling.
But it's so much worse than that! This fog, it's a...
You're not making any sense, darling. It's a what?
This fog is a real...
A real what, darling?
A real... super.
Well, if it's super, there's nothing to worry about, is there?
Please, please don't go.
I'm sorry, darling. Goodbye.
He's dead. Killed instantly. Somebody, please hollow out a tree.
Oliver? Oliver? Oliver! No! You can't be dead. You simply can't be. Oliver!
He is. We're chopping him up now. Government regulations.
Why? Why? Why?
It's all in the pamphlet, dear.
I haven't seen any pamphlet! Why didn't I get a pamphlet?
Here you go.
Which page? Someone, anyone, tell me which page!
Page 4.
Oh yes, here it is.
Don't stand there reading, dear. You're sure to be hit by a van or something. Dear God, at this rate we'll have no trees left.
At the end of the first fortnight, 4 million people had died in England alone. From the radio we heard crackly snippets of reports from across the world. Istanbul had been engulfed in a mineral slime. Prague was now little more than a shack. Barcelona had nearly run out of cheese. Antwerp had moved 368 miles south-southwest and was calling itself Godfrey. I heard whispers of a warrior queen now presiding over the Isle of Wight. She sat atop a throne of pea-green tennis balls. The absence cast its shadow over all. The day I awoke, the police came and forced us all out into the streets. The emergency national government had declared that we should all line up in height order across the country. It was music to my ears. That's because Let's Line Up in Height Order Across Britain was my favourite song. In fact, it was our song, Emily and I. Why have I singularly failed to mention Emily throughout this tape recording? Did I mention this is a tape recording either? Well, it is. No, I have not yet mentioned Emily, my fiancée. I mean, there has been no particular reason to, up till now. I am, I admit, a man of little imagination, but I have felt the burning need to procreate and have acted upon that carnal instinct, to my shame. So I set about finding myself a mate. Because of my singular ineptitude towards the fair sex, I chose to find a female companion who looked as much like me as possible. Don't ask. My quest took me from Brighton to Bridlington, but fortunately, in Bridlington, the second town I searched, I found Emily. She was the spit of me. Same eyebrows, same lolloping gait, and same height. In fact, the exactitude of our elevation had been so remarked upon that we sought medical confirmation. And 14 doctors later, we had a certificate stating that we were perfectly matched in height, to within an eighth of an inch. Little did I think, when I held aloft that scroll and praised kind fortune who made us both equally, would I one day be cursing her very existence. Cruel Daphne! Leave us alone, can't you, you minx! As the National Guard gathered and assessed me, I was put on the back of a truck bound for Coventry, where all the 5-foot tenors were heading. I gazed out of the window of the truck packed with frightened people of roughly equivalent height to me to look upon vibrant fields of green. But it wasn't grass. It was mint. Spearmint, garden mint, every type of mint you could name now peppered the countryside. Peppermint, that's another one. The absence meant that mint usage was drastically reduced, and the herb had gone feral. Feral mint is a description, not a variety of mint, by the way. We passed dairy farmers weeping over mountains of butter that should have been smeared on the tiny green orbs, their salt tears ironically preserving the butter and extending the torment. More victims of the absence. Presently we arrived in Coventry. Soon, I thought, I would be standing astride Emily once more, feeling her gentle lips, so reminiscent of my own gentle lips. Forced in line, I waited and waited. For 17 hours I stood in the High Street, just next to the Holiday Inn. But no sign of Emily. Then, thank heavens, I thought I caught a glimpse of her fair shape. But alas, it was but my own reflection in the bay window of the Holiday Inn. It was soon time for everyone who had not been matched up to be taken away. I refused. No, cruel authoritarian militia man. I must await her. Emily's coming.
Cut your whining, Shorthouse. Get in a van.
But she's coming. I know she will be here.
We'll check the records. What does she look like?
Like me. Like me. We're as alike as... as alike as...
As alike as what?
As alike as... two... two... I could not finish my simile, so they threw me into a detention centre. For 47 days and nights, I stared at the same blank wall. which was silly, really, as I could have turned round and looked out of the window. Every day they brought me a scraping of porridge. But this day was different. As they shoved the measly offering under my nose, I could not believe the smell. The sweetness of freshly picked peas wafted beneath my nostrils. I immediately passed out in shock. The absence had ended as mysteriously as it began. No comment from Daphne, the tease. A few days later I awoke. I thought another horror had befallen me, and I had grown two extra limbs. Soon I realized instead I was in the arms of my beloved Emily. I gazed into her face as one would into a bathroom mirror after some particularly satisfying ablutions. "Two peas in a pod," she uttered, and smiled the exact same smile that adorned my face. It turned out Emily was none other than the warrior queen that ruled the Isle of Wight. When the absence absented, she searched and searched for me, using a photo of herself to show people what I looked like. Which is why it took so long. People thought she was balmy. But here we were, united once more. And, as a special treat, she had cooked me a meal. Pork chop, mash, and peas. Like green balls of nectar, the peas glistened with salty, slightly runny butter. They looked a little over-minted, but that was entirely understandable. We all had to do our bit. I scooped up the buttery spheres and raised them to my lips. But, as I dropped the glistening peas into my mouth, I felt an itching, then a swelling as my throat tightened and my air passage reduced. I was choking. Cruel Daphne had one final card to play. While the absence had lifted, I was somehow now allergic to peas. I felt the life drain out of me, and I slumped to the floor, dead. Hang on, I survived. No, gone again. I'm definitely dead now. Bugger. You must be wondering how I, Oswald, could be recording on an audio tape the exact details of my demise. Well, this is not Oswald speaking at all. It is in fact I, Emily, our vocal cords also being identical. But I will never allow my throat to be touched by those cruel, spherical legumes. Oswald survived the absence, but Daphne claimed him as her own. May he rest in peace.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.